Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going to the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 11 and chapter 12, where we see Moses giving five sermons to the children of Israel before they enter into Canaan and appropriate all that God has for them. In today's study, we will be looking at the second of five sermons given by Moses. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 11.
You got little kids, but a life of devotion. What are devotions without a life of devotion anyways? All you are is a legalist. Did you do your devotions yet? You know, are you living a life of devotion? Is Jesus a reality to you? Is he a reality in your home? And that's what the scriptures are saying here. Listen, it's easier to wear a gold cross on your neck than bear Christ's cross daily. Isn't that true? We see these things here. It's easier to hang scriptures on your walls than hide God's word in your hearts. But this is what the scriptures here are calling for. Just a reality of Jesus, the word of God. It should be dominant in our lives. Dominant. I try to get as much of God's word in me as possible. You want to know why? Because when the word goes in, the dirt comes out. Remember when Ehud and Judges stabbed Eglon, that really, really large, evil man, the Moabite king? He took a little dagger, a double-edged sword, and he stabbed him. He pierced him in his bowels. And it literally says that when his dagger went in, the fat enclosed his dagger and the dirt came pouring out. It's a symbol, it's a picture of Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce to the depths of our soul. And as God's word goes in us, it purifies us. The dirt just is excreted from our lives. The more you put the word of God in you, the more the dirt just, it leaves. And don't you want that? Don't you want your mind to be pure, your heart to be cleansed, your hands to be clean? We get defiled so easily. What's the key? What's the answer? What's the antidote? What's the remedy? God's word. God's word. 99.7 all day long. Even if you don't like the Bible teacher, even if you think he's not good, even if you think he's boring, if he's preaching God's word, listen to him. Worship music, full of good doctrinal truths, listen to it. Put more and more into your being. You need it, I need it, we need it. Amen? For if you shall diligently, verse 22, keep all of these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways and to cleave to him. Man, that's where I'm at tonight, cleaving to Jesus. Cleave to Jesus. Hold on to him. Then will the Lord drive out, verse 23, all of these nations from before you. And you're going to possess greater nations that are mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread, they're going to be yours. Now, in a minute here, I'm not going to be geopolitically correct, but I'm going to be biblically correct, so that's okay. Look what the Bible says here. From the wilderness in Lebanon, from the river, from Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea shall be your coast. The Bible says, this is what the Bible says here, the coast of Israel go from Baghdad to the Mediterranean. That's what that says here. Iran, Iraq, that's Israel's. Thus saith the Lord. Israel, you can clap for that if you want. It's exciting. Or don't. Anyways, so under the apex of the kings reigning over Israel, at their best, they have only appropriated 1/10 of the land that God had in store for them. Only 1/10 of all that God had in store for them. But you know what's crazy? When we were in Israel last year, you're touring the land, and you've never seen richer soil before. You've never seen greener grass. But then you look at all of the borders of the other nations that are supposed to be Israel's, but they haven't taken that land. You see all these other lands, and the dirt isn't as brown. The grass isn't as green. Isn't that true? Anyone who's been to Israel, isn't that true? Just say yes, even if you don't think I'm telling the truth. Just say, yeah, it's true, Pastor, it's true. No, it is. It's the truth. It's unbelievable how God's favor is all over that place that he has given to his children. But how sad, only about one-tenth, less than 30% of the land that God had in store for his people, they appropriated and took as theirs. And that speaks of the Christian life for many people. God has so much in store for you. Yeah, you're saved. You've been redeemed. He buried your past. But you don't take all that he has for you. You're in a rut. You sort of put it in neutral. You play games. You have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You're constantly struggling with sin issues because you're putting yourself in bad predicaments and situations. And you never really go into that spirit-filled life, the abundant life that Jesus had in mind. How sad. It's tragic, really. And I pray to God that tonight, if anyone is in that condition, that you'd wake up and get serious about Jesus. There shall no man be able to stand before you, verse 25. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. If you study history, any history buffs here? A few of you guys. If you study wars, even in the 60s, when Israel's fought other nations, they've defeated nations with just a handful of tanks, deceiving the enemies, thinking that there were more tanks fighting than in all reality were actually at war. I mean, God has put the fear of Israel in their neighbors' hearts. God has preserved this nation the size of New Jersey, miraculously. It's unbelievable how God has fought for them, how God has defended them, how God has preserved them. And he will do the same thing for you as you walk with him. Behold, he says, this gets very important here. The Lord says, consider this, verse 26, I set before you, or literally in front of you this day, a blessing and a curse. A blessing, it says here, if you obey, verse 27, the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. The Lord says, you're going to have the option here. You get to choose who you're going to follow after. If you choose to follow me, if you choose to obey my word, you're going to receive blessings. If you choose, because you have free will, which is a blessing and a curse, though, if you choose to be in Bible study and hear the word of the Lord taught and let it go in one ear and out the other and not put it into play in your life, well, then you're bringing curses upon you. It's not as though God's shooting lightning bolts upon you. It's just you are damning your own self. You're going to have this choice, God says. You get to pick what you want here. And it will come to pass, verse 29, when the Lord your God has brought thee into the land where you are going to possess it, that you shall put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And literally, when we get to Deuteronomy 27, 28, when we get to Joshua chapter 8, we'll talk about these things more. But half the tribes will go to Mount Gerizim, and half the tribes will go to Mount Ebal, and then the Levites, the priests, will go down into the valley, which is where we live as Christians, in the valley of decision. And they will literally cry out the blessings and the curses. Half the tribes will be on one mount, half the tribes will be on the other, and they'll cry out, as we'll see as we journey through it. They'll cry out the curses. If you get drunk, your liver's going to rot. Amen. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I'm making it applicable to today. But they would cry out the truths of sinning against the Lord. And the people on the mountain of Ebal that knew that these things were curses, they would say amen when the curses were pronounced. Amen. So be it. Just like we do when we willfully sin. And then there will be people on the Mount of Blessings. If you walk with God and obey God's word, you're going to be blessed. The rains will come down from heaven. Amen. So be it. You're in the Valley of Decision. You get to pick which mountain you're going to go to. You get to pick what mountaintop you want to camp out on, which mountaintop you want to remain on, stay on. It's up to you tonight where you want to go. You can say, okay, I'm going to be a doer of God's word. I'm going to be a hearer of God's word. I'm going to apply what I get tonight into my everyday life, and I'm going to be a person of blessings. Wonderful. Praise God. Amen to you. Or you can say, and maybe not with words, but by deeds and actions, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do things how I want to do them. If I don't like what God's word says concerning a specific area of my life, if I feel like it's outdated, if I feel like it's just silly, if it's folly, I'm going to do my thing. That's fine too, but watch and see how you will reap what you sow. Watch and see how you bring curses upon your own life. It's like when folks say, why does God, if he's such a loving God, send people to hell? How can a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. People send themselves to hell by rejecting the truth of his word. Same thing here in your life. As a Christian, how do I get blessed? Obey God's word. That's how you get blessed. You obey God's word. How do I get cursed? How do I bring frustration and aggravation upon my life? Be disobedient. Keep playing in the pig slot. Keep monkeying around with the things of this life. Keep messing around with unbelievers and getting involved in relationships you shouldn't be in and deeds that you shouldn't be in. And you're going to continually have headaches. But follow after Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Live the abundant life. Be full in him. And man, that's a place of blessings. But you're in the valley of decision tonight. And so am I. That's where we live, in the valley of decision. We get to pick what mountain we're going to go to. And your life will amen it, like it or not. So to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. And your sin will always catch up to you. Let me say that before we move on. If you're a Christian tonight, you're a real follower of Jesus Christ, you will never get away with sin. You're ruined for this life. Did you know that? No, I'm serious. You're ruined for this life. You're no good for this world anymore. So you might as well get serious about Jesus. Because when God's Spirit saves you, he indwells you now. So he cramps your style. You can never have fun sinning anymore. If you're really saved, you'll never enjoy sinning anymore, not to the fullest. Unless your heart gets really, really hardened. But even then, he's going to hound you. He's going to haunt you. And it's just like, man, this is miserable. I can't even get drunk anymore. I can't even whore around anymore. I can't even cheat on my tax anymore. I'm so hounded in my mind. Man, I can't even beat somebody up when I want to anymore. I can't even smack my kid when I want to anymore. Man, Lord, even when I lose my temper, I don't even get any satisfaction. I'm so convicted. You're ruined for this world when you come to Jesus. So what do? Follow him. Live for him, obey him, and enjoy the abundant life. You'll never be able to enjoy sin the way that you used to again. Never. So follow Jesus. Live for Jesus. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Such a better joy, such a better high. I mean, honestly, is there any testifiers here? Is there anybody who can say amen to that? Would you say amen if you believe that tonight? Just say it out loud. Being a Christian is not as difficult as we make it. What do you have to do? Read your Bible, pray every single day, no skipping, and go to church. Go to church as much as you can possibly go to church. Go every Wednesday, go every Sunday, go every Monday. We had a lady say recently that they can't come to prayer because they're already at church on Wednesdays and Fridays. And we have prayer on Mondays. That's just a lot of church. You need a lot of church, and so do I. You got to be in church as much as you could possibly. If you really want to know tonight, how do I walk with the Lord? Be at every service you can be at. If you're young and you're not married, you don't have a family yet, be here on Friday nights. If you can get out here, even if you're coming right from work and you have to eat dinner afterwards, be at prayer on Monday nights. It's my favorite meeting of the week. Be here on Wednesday nights, be here on Sunday mornings, and be here on Saturday mornings for men's prayer, for this new prayer for the innocents on Saturday mornings. I mean, there are so much opportunities to be in fellowship with other Christians. This is all you have to do. Fellowship with Christians, be in church, read your Bible, and pray. That's it. Repeat, repeat, repeat every day, and you will be a strong Christian. And yield to God's Spirit, of course. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, verse 30, by the way, where the sun goes down, speaking of the two mountaintops, and the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal before the plains of Morah? For you shall pass over Jordan, verse 31, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you shall possess it, and you will dwell therein, and you shall observe to do all the statutes and the judgments which I set before you this day. Verse 1, chapter 12, these are the statutes, judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord your God, the God of thy fathers, gives. Notice the tense there, giveth. It's in the process of giving. He's giving it to you. All the days that you shall live upon the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places, verse 2, wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the high hills, and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, and you shall break down their pillars, and you shall burn their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and you shall destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not Do so, verse 4, unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all of your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vows, your freewill offerings, the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put in your hand unto you and your households wherein the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not, verse 8, do after all the things that we do here in this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own sight. You guys that go to the well group on Friday nights, this is your theme verse right now in the book of Judges. That's what that book is all about. Everyone did that which is right in their own sight. That's the religion of Oprah today. Grab a little bit of this religion, grab a little bit of that. You're making meatballs. You're taking all sorts of ingredients and you're rolling it together and you're saying, this is how I am spiritual. No, you don't get to say how you are spiritual. You don't get to take a little bit from Marxism, from Buddhism, from, you know, this cult and that cult and Christianity and mold it all together and say, this makes me happy. The Bible gives you no provision to do so. You don't get to dictate what is right before God, even if it's right in your sight. If the Bible says contrary, then it's wrong. God's word above your will, always. Listen, God is very clear here. He's saying here, he's instituting church. He's saying when you come to worship, when you come to bring your offerings, whatever offerings that they are before the Lord that we find in Leviticus, we've already covered in great detail if you want to go back and study. Listen, you come and you do it in the place that I have ordained. You don't have the leeway. You don't have the right to do things that are right in your own sight. I love it about God. How are we supposed to do church like the early church did? That's the pattern. We just follow them. We don't get to come up with new ideas. We don't get to approach God on our terms. You've heard me talk about this before. God is very deliberate, very specific in his word as how he wants us to come to him and how he wants us to approach him. Not as how you think you should do it. Well, I'm spiritual in my own way. I experience God on my pillow. I experience God when I'm out on the golf course. Great, but that ain't church. If you want to experience God the way that he has designed, you do it his way and on his terms. It is very important in the day and age of the church today. We got to make sure we understand this. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance, verse 9, which the Lord your God gives you. But when you go over the Jordan, you dwell in the land where the Lord your God will give you to inherit. When he gives you the rest from all of your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place. You all know what place it is, right? Jerusalem, right? That's where the temple will be. The Lord is going to give you a place where the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. It's all about his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It's the name of Jesus that we seek to esteem. It's the name of Jesus that we lift up. It's the name of Jesus that we praise and worship. It's the name of Jesus that we gather together. And amen? That's what he's saying here. One place, one name. That's what you come to do. You come to dwell in. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You and your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part, no inheritance with you, you're to come and you're to rejoice. So much of church is rejoicing in Jesus. Listen, don't be a bump on the log when we're worshiping. You ought to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Don't be a person who says, I'm waiting for the Bible study to start. That's how I worship the Lord. I want to know the truth. That's wonderful, but if you have all truth and no spirit, then you're lacking as far as the word of God is concerned. You need to enter into worship. You need to be able to sing to the Lord, make a joyful noise. It's good to clap in church. It's good to raise your hands. It's good to bless his name. He is worthy of all of your praise. Don't stare at the worship team. It's awkward. They're not here performing for you. They're not a band. They're not looking for your applause. They're here to simply be an audience of one with us and use their voices and their instruments to lead us before the throne of Jesus Christ. That's why I've appointed my brother as the worship leader, because his heart is pure. He wants to lead you into the presence of God, and he does that wonderfully. He does that wonderfully with the team that God has raised up here. They lead us before the presence of Jesus. That is what a worship team is for. Not to sign albums, not to be rock stars. They're here to lead us before the throne of grace. And they're not just here to prepare you for Bible study. That's a wrong conception of what worship is for. Oh, you got to get into worship. You got to have your walls knocked down so that the Lord can minister to your heart through his word. That's a fraction of what worship's for. You were created to worship. You want to know what you're going to be doing in heaven? Worshiping. So if you don't like it now, you're not going to like heaven. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be on our faces singing to Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, the King above all kings, the name above all names. That's what we're going to be doing for eternity. Worship is what you were created to do. It's a release for you. So if you're out there talking, if you're out there waiting for worship to end, if you're out there doing other things purposefully, trying to miss worship, you're ripping the Lord off and you're ripping yourself off. You should be here on time to the best of your abilities in church, ready to worship your King. Ready to worship your King. Making a joyful noise to him. And you did it tonight. You did it awesomely tonight. There were times where I just stopped and listened to you guys sing and praise the name of Jesus. There's no sweeter sound in my ears, or more importantly, his ears, than his bride singing to him. Can we do something different at church? All we do is worship and do Bible studies. No way. This is God's way. This is what we do. There'll be no dramas here. No skits. Not during service times. This is God's house. We do it his way. Make a joyful noise. That's a word to some of you tonight. You need to hear this. Make a joyful noise to Jesus. Everyone in your family, everyone come and make a joyful noise to Jesus. Take heed to yourself, verse 13. That you offer not your burnt offering in every place that you see. You don't just get to offer up your burnt offering wherever you see fit. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer the burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, verse 15, you may kill and eat flesh in all your gates.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.